As has been said, this is a stage where you do have access to the file that the FAA has compiled against you. It's a routine request, typically in response to the notice when the airman selects what it is that he'd like to do, acting as counsel or acting on yourself. You ask for the EIR, which is the enforcement file, and it's sent back to you, no questions asked. If the FAA has compiled some audio tapes or some radar data, you're going to have that as well. After you've gone through this discussion, the end result is the FAA either will continue to seek the sanctions that they sought originally. In the rare case, as we've discussed, they may go to the other extreme and completely withdraw the charge. More likely than not, what you're going to get is some type of compromise proposal. And then you have to evaluate that. You have to evaluate the expense and risks of going forward to a full hearing and trial versus what's on the table. As we've heard from counsel, as I'll say in my experience, and I imagine same across the board, is probably as high as 9 times out of 10, the resolution that's achieved as a result of this informal conference and the discussion that you have is going to be at least an acceptable compromise, or at least good enough weight against the risks and the expense of going forward to a trial that's going to be your best scenario. Do you agree with that? About 9 out of 10 or somewhere that high statistic where you're settling these cases? At this point, this is when, if you have filed an ASRS NASA report, you want to bring that up, okay? You've now got the best offer that you're going to get out of the FAA. You decide it's not worth it to go through with a full-blown trial. You don't want to wait and play a game. The order is going to be issued. It's going to say this is what the sanction is, but you want that order to also say that due to the timely filed NASA report, you're not going to have to serve that sanction, whether it's a suspension or some type of other type of violation. The other thing that you can do when we talk about the settlements is, instead of serving the certificate action penalty, which is typically a suspension of some length, you can discuss the possibility of converting it to a civil penalty where a fine is paid. And depending on your circumstance, that might be favorable. The culmination of that is an order of some sort is entered, whether it's a withdrawal, whether it's a modification of the previous order, or you're just at loggerheads and nothing is resolved. An order ultimately is entered, and you then have several options in responding to that order. And that is, again, a time-critical event. This is something where you want to watch the deadlines very carefully, make sure you understand when the initial dates are effective, and how that affects your rights under your certificate. In all but the rarest situations, you have full use of your privileges while an appeal is pending, if you do proceed to an appeal of that order so that you can have a full-blown hearing. And basically, this is just a matter of recognizing the rights that you have. You have a right to your certificate, right to exercise those privileges, and until something has been proven against you, whether we're talking about a violation, then up until that point, you have full use of your privileges. The notice of appeal is due 20 days after the date on the order of suspension, and that's, again, the date that it's marked, the date that it's entered. And if you have not had representation up until this point, and again, whether we're talking about formally engaging a lawyer or just getting some advice, I think you're going to hear from this panel that it's highly advisable to have advice and counsel all the way through these stages. But when you get to the appeal, if there's going to be a full-blown hearing, you would be at a severe disadvantage to do that on your own without some type of formal legal representation. I think one of my colleagues is going to take over at this point.
John, you want to talk about 9 and 10? Let me mention one thing while John's coming up. We got you. One of the things that we talk about And I caution people, and I probably get in trouble with the Bar Association for this, but so what? When you go to get someone to give you some legal advice on aviation matter, I caution you about using an attorney which may be your regular lawyer who does your wills, your real estate, your business, your corporation. Aviation is a very unique specialty. It's like the tax law. It's like intellectual property. It is especially all of its own. And when you go to find someone who is knowledgeable in this area, you need to either to consult the AOPA because of their legal services plan, which John will talk about before we get finished, or you need to call me and let me give you someone out of the NTSB bar, a directory of those. An aviation lawyer is someone who probably has a library of all the NTSB decisions. He has copies of all the FARs. He has copies of the current supplements that go to the decisions. He has the rule book, Part 821 of the rules, Part 14, I think it's 14 CFR 821, or is it 49? 49, okay, 14 CFR. Anyway, all the rules and regulations that the board must follow on all these appeal times and things. So, and he's familiar with the administrative law judges and the Office of Administrative Office of Courts in Washington, and he's familiar with the process. This is you don't want to get someone who really is not familiar with this. It's just, it's not a smart move to make. And the good news is that there's a lot of resources available to you, and John will talk about it a little bit later when he discusses the AOPA Legal Services Plan. John, go ahead.
Thank you, Harry. Alan and Harry have set the stage. We're now moving into the adjudicatory phase of the enforcement process. We talked about the informal part, the investigation, the informal conference, the settlement processes. They're all exhausted, and the FAA has now issued an order, a formal order ordering to suspend or revoke an airman's certificate. And there is a right of appeal to the National Transportation Safety Board. The National Transportation Safety Board is a separate federal agency from the FAA, and the whole point is to have some independent adjudication of what the FAA is charging. Now, the good news, except in an informal, in an emergency case, an airman will continue to be able to exercise the privileges of his or her certificate while that case is proceeding before the NTSB. And we'll see that there are a lot of procedures before the NTSB. It is not at all unusual for the case to go for a year or even for 2 years after that. So, except in an emergency case, despite the fact that you will appeal this matter to the National Transportation Safety Board, the airman will continue to be able to exercise the privileges of his or her certificate while these procedures are being taken advantage of. So let's talk about the procedures. You now have appealed to the NTSB. What will happen is that case will be assigned to an administrative law judge. There are four administrative law judges of the NTSB. They are geographically dispersed, and one will be assigned to your case. When that case has been assigned to a law judge, the FAA will send its order to the NTSB, which will constitute the FAA's complaint in that adjudicatory process. And you, or your lawyer, and hopefully you will have a lawyer, must respond to that complaint by filing an answer, by asserting your affirmative defenses, and by making various of the motions that are usual in court. For example, if they have not proceeded so diligently as to have met the six-month rule that I think Alan talked about, then you're entitled to a motion to dismiss because the complaint is stale. Merely by way of illustration. However, once an answer has been filed and the case is at issue, there will be an opportunity for discovery. The FAA can ask about your case. You can ask about the FAA case. And then the case proceeds to a hearing. Now, the hearing is very much like what you see on television or what you may have been involved in your own personal experiences. The judge will sit up there. Many of them will wear robes. There will be an opportunity for a witness stand. There will be a court reporter. The FAA will call its witnesses, will produce testimony. The airman will have an opportunity for cross-examination. The FAA will introduce documentary evidence. We talked about a couple of cases where the FAA has proved the response to the letter of investigation. At the conclusion of the FAA's case, the airman has an opportunity to put a case on. The airman presents his or her testimony, the testimony of their witnesses, documentary or tangible evidence, and when the airman concludes his or her part of the case, there's an opportunity for rebuttal, for surrebuttal. But once the evidence is all in, the judge now is in a position to make a decision based on the evidence that he has heard. Judge usually will take a recess, go back and consider what he has heard, make up his mind, and then come back, and they almost always issue a decision from the bench. And by that I mean at the same location where the case was heard. The judge will then render a decision and will close the record. But that's not the end of the adjudicatory processes, because then either party, the FAA or the airman, may appeal that judge's decision to the full 5-member National Transportation Safety Board. There are 5 members of the board appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. They hear this case on paper. Each party provides a brief, and while there is an opportunity for oral argument, it is rarely, rarely granted. The next thing that will happen will be the board will decide the case, will issue a decision, and the decision will come to you by mail. Again, whether that decision is for or against you or for or against the administrator, there's an opportunity for further appeal. Now you've concluded the matter before the National Transportation Safety Board. Either party can take that case now to a federal court, to a federal court of appeals. With respect to the airman, it could be the court of appeals where the airman resides or does business, or the court of appeals in the District of Columbia. And that's a very, very formalized procedure. And there are evil procedures beyond the court of appeals to the Supreme Court.